Welcome to Juice Podcast. I'm Emily Harmon.
I'm Gwen Douglas.
Today we're discussing
Muller Thurgau.
Very sensual.
Very sensual. I don't know how else to say that. It has a kind of Muller Thurgau.
The name probably oversells the varietal in a lot of ways, doesn't it? When you say it like that, don't get what you're expecting to get.
Out of the...
Like, no one's saying, Sauvignon Blanc. Like, everyone's like, yeah, Savvy B.
It's funny that you should bring up Sauvignon Blanc.
Muller T. Savvy B, Muller T. Yeah. I want to just throw that out there. I think this is the new word for Muller Thurgau that everybody needs to be saying, I'm having a bit of Mully. I'm having Muller.
Some Mully. Muller. Yeah, that sounds like Muller Corner. I don't know. It's not a bad thing.
Someone says that in England. There's an English producer that's always like, yeah, I did this with the Muller. And I'm like, what are you talking about? But I think Mully T.
Mully T.
Mully T, Savvy B.
Totally something my Mully. Sister would say Mully.
I'll meet you for a bottle of Mully.
I just think it's funny that you already mentioned Sauvignon Blanc, because I feel like this guy gets the same bad rap that Sauvignon Blanc gets from
It does, and I don't think it's necessarily as good as Sauvignon either.
I might agree.
As a varietal, like in general. Right. I feel like general.
General. Yes, there's a quote. There's definitely, one of these I haven't tried yet, so we don't know. And then the other one I've definitely had a lot, and we've talked about it. It's come up in conversation in a couple of podcasts. So I'm excited to have it again, so I'm always excited to have it.
Why does that say Rivana Trocken?
Because Rivana is its street name.
Is it?
It's one of the street names of Muller Thurgau.
Look at you! Oh my god! You're like Mrs. I think there needs to be almost like a badge that says Aromatic Ambassador or like Mrs. Yeah. Like, look how happy you are for saying that.
It has a couple of street names.
I love that you've got your little cat shaped.
They're actually llamas from the Hema.
That looks like that's not a llama. Oh, yes, it is. Okay.
It's a llama.
But it looks slightly catty.
Yeah. So apparently it has some other names that I wrote down on my llamas.
Fucking hilarious.
But it's also known as Rivana or Riesling Silvana.
No way! No one's calling it
Silvani in other countries.
Yeah, but that's a very misleading name for it.
Come on. We've all looked at something online and being like, what the fuck grape is that? And then you're like, oh, it's one of those. Like, they just wanted to, like, be special.
Also, like, it doesn't seem like it's legal to call it Riesling Silvano, because there would be a lot of people that would go, oh, it's Silvana and Riesling.
Very confused, yes. So, but Rivana...
Are you sure that is actually Muller Thurgau, Riesling, Silvana, or that is a word for Rivana, and Rivana is Riesling, Silvana?
No, Rivana is Muller Thurgau. This is made in Germany, in the Pfalz, and one of the other names... So maybe, I would assume, I'm going to go out on a limb here and say that since historically Muller Thurgau hasn't had a great rap, that why would you want to put it on your label? You might be like, Let's rebrand it. Let's just use Rivana.
Yeah.
Because this maybe has a... Like, I actually had no clue. And when I went into this particular wine shop, because I didn't know any other Muller Thurgau that I wanted to drink other than the one you brought, I was a little bit stressed about it. And I went into the shop and I asked him if he had any Muller Thurgau. And he said, actually, I have this Rivana. And I was at the Harvest last year. So that's why I brought it.
The guy was at the Harvest last year.
Yes, the guy at the shop was at the Harvest. Like, and he was like, don't have Muller Thurgau, but it's like,
did she just go into the TARDIS? Did she go back in time?
I might have. There I was. The guy at the shop.
Well, let's give it a go then.
Yeah, should we just open them both?
Thank God. I think let's start with yours.
Thank God we can just like toss these, goodbye, out the window.
Do you know how much you're going to regret having to climb over that next time that you don't do your homework? You're just so happy that you did your homework and you're so happy that there's screw caps and that you don't have to use it.
So I'm going to unscrew both of these and we can decide which one.
No, we're definitely starting with that one.
All right. Yes, yeah. It's going to be, I think, a lot lighter.
Yes. Not necessarily lighter, but...
We'll see. I don't know.
The alcohol percentage is higher, I think, in this one. Well, it says 12.5, mine's 11.5. But mine has skin contact, so...
Ah, yes.
I'm sorry.
Street name engaged.
Different, very different.
I think. I mean, I already figured when I looked at the notes on this.
So, for anybody that's not familiar with Muller Thurgau,
yes,
it's important to discuss what Muller Thurgau is. So it's a great. Back to the llamas. I love it. She's like, look, I've never seen you so proud to deliver your homework. Because it's the first time in like almost 40 episodes that you've actually done your homework.
No, that's not true. I had many printouts.
Whenever did you come with a printout? There was never llamas.
Do you know how much of it? And it's not llamas, but I had four printouts.
I have never seen. Oh, you are such a liar.
Oh, no, I can even show you. They're all still at home. I keep.
All right, well, I don't want to slam you. I was about to say slut shame. That was wrong.
It's not slutty at all.
She did her homework. Slut.
That would be the best type of slut shaming. Oh, she did her homework.
What a slut.
If only that's what it meant.
The best is when it's like, she didn't clean her room. Slut. Because that's actually appropriate. That's actually the way to use it.
But I feel like next time someone's going to call me a slut.
I'm like, what a slut. She didn't flush the loo after she used it. That's when you should use it. That is ultimate. That is slut shaming that needs to come back.
Yeah, right.
And you can do that to a male or a female. He didn't flush the toilet. What a slut.
I love that.
It's so good.
But I also feel like next time someone calls me a slut, I'd be like, yes, I did do my homework. So there.
And they're like, no, girlfriend. The toilet needs flushing. Oh, sorry. I was too busy drawing on my llama cloth. I forgot.
Okay, so that was a big aside. Now here we are back at Mulla Turgo.
Yeah, so Mulla Turgo, actually, just so everybody knows, is a crossing. So it's not like an original Vitis vinifera. It's not like Riesling, Chardonnay, blah, 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 blah.
It's actually Dolly the Sheep.
I don't know what that reference means.
You don't have it.
Who's
that's the
Dolly
clone,
the
clone
sheep.
Sheep
so it's not Dolly Parton sheep.
Mm-mm.
I feel like she'd make a good sheep.
England, they cloned a sheep and then they named it
England Dolly. Or Wales?
Wow, this episode is going down the toilet fast.
Oh, it's good. Someone's going to flush it, hopefully.
Yes.
That's what's here.
This will be forever known as the Mulla Slut Chug Out episode. It's going to be a mess. But here we are.
Yeah, so this is actually a crossing of Riesling with a table grape.
Ah, yes.
Madeleine Royale. I can't tell you much about what that table grape was like, but interesting enough, I think it's quite funny because when you try this wine, it's a little bit more simple.
Yes, I was going to say, it's a bit tabley wine. Yes.
Yeah, what does...
Tabley wine.
Oh, it's one of those tabley wines.
But
technical terms
tabley
coming
wine.
From Gwen right now.
We have a lot of hashtags already happening in the last 5 minutes. But I think...
That's not the one anybody's ever going to remember as tabley wine.
I feel like there are a lot of Brits out there that from now on are going to be like, that's a very tabley wine.
And no one's going to have a clue what they're saying.
Just us. But
some girl with a bow with a rose on her collar told me that tabling wine is a wine descriptor.
But what I was going to say is that when I looked up this wine, because obviously I bought it randomly at a shop that I don't go to that often, whose name I don't remember, and when I looked up the notes, even the winemaker says that it's best for making Schorle. So I mean, that already tells you.
Okay, Schorle, the Germans or the people residing in Germany understand what Schorle is.
So a spritz, so like adding sparkling water.
A spritzer, so a Schorle is a spritzer.
Yeah.
So essentially there's a huge culture of drinking spritzers.
In Germany and in Austria.
Yeah. It's quite common that if you go out for the night, you can drink Weisswein Schorle, white wine spritzer all night. And it's very normal. Also because actually you go to a lot of places, the wines are awful.
Yes.
It's the best way to drink. If you're going to have to do it, it's like a good way to sort of drink. And
I've done it on a night out and actually it's pretty good.
Sometimes it's the only option.
If I've gone to... I mean, I remember going out with you and a few friends one night and staying out super late, and I didn't want to be hungover the next day, but wanted to stay out and still participate, so I drank Weisswein Schorle till like 4:30 in the morning, woke up with no hangover.
Ace. I don't know who that was with, and I'm sure that there
it's
was
definitely
some...
with you.
Don't feel like it. Yeah.
It was in some bar, it was like downstairs, there was a dance floor...
Did you dance?
There was a birthday.
Oh, I know the time.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, I woke up feeling great the next day.
Oh, now I know. Yeah, yeah. But
not the one you don't want to be drinking by itself.
No. True. You don't want to be drinking in a basement.
You
want a
grabby
one.
Put a bit of spritz.
So yeah, the Schorle thing is one thing. So obviously Mulla Turgo. Also, you see a bit with Silvana and average Riesling here as well.
Okay.
That it's quite common for it to be diluted with sparkling water.
I do have some sparkling water if we want to try it with some sparkling
water. Well, this almost feels like it's already
there. It's already there. I know. It's a bit watery.
Yeah. But I think if you're into Riesling, if you're into Sauvignon, it's kind of a good midway point between Riesling and Sauvignon in a way, in a more simpler way. So if you're
I also think a Pinot Gris drinker would probably drink this happily.
But it's a bit fresher, that's all. Because when you smell it, it's got this slight, like it's very citrusy.
Yes.
Almost to the point where it smells like a household cleaning product. Yeah,
it's got a bit of like the fake lemon in a glass of water thing going on. Yeah,
so there's this going on. There's a floral edge, aromatic edge.
Yes.
But then this like green edge, which is verging on vegetal, which reminds me a bit of like this grapefruity vegetal, but floral aspect that you see with Sauvignon.
Okay.
But it's dry and it's crisp and it's light.
I mean, so, I think it's inoffensive. Depends what offends you.
Yeah.
Emily's offended in different ways than I am. This wouldn't offend me. If I went to someone's house and they weren't big wine drinkers and they served this to me, I would probably say, like, it's drinkable. It's not, like, offensive in the sense that, like, it's going to make me unwell. I'm not like...
Yeah, I mean, it's not...
It's like, inoffensive.
But when do we ever talk about wines being offensive to the
people? No, I know.
Make them well?
But I'm just saying that,
is
like,
there a wine that's ever been that offensive?
I mean, there are some wines...
Have you been that offended by a wine?
No, but I've definitely been, like... I mean, the Spätti episode.
Yeah, you cannot complain, because you were responsible for bringing those awful wines.
I didn't make them. I didn't know. It was a challenge. I failed at the challenge. What can I say?
I feel like you need a little fan. You went into, like, full damsel in distress mode, like... I don't know. I was doing my thing.
But I don't think it's offensive. I don't think it's... It's not something
this is
I'm
so,
like,
but it, for me, I think more on the Sauvignon style than Riesling, but somewhere in between, because it's lighter, fresh, high acidity, floral, but it's big time citrus.
And I could totally drink this as a spritz and be happy with this. I'd be fine, like, sitting on a terrace somewhere along a canal, like having...
Müller-Thurgau Frosé.
Oh.
Or, well, I mean, you can't say Frosé. What's the word for Müller-Thurgau?
Oh my God.
Frozen drinks.
I mean, we saw what happened with the Gewürztraminer episode. I don't know. Oh, the Gewürztraminer. So, I don't know if I can... Müller-Frozenmeter. I don't know.
Frozen Müller.
Frozen Müller. Like, that sounds
Frulla.
Like...
Frulla.
Frulla. You'd be Frulla like,
Turgau.
Are you all right?
Frulla-Thurgau.
Frulla-Thurgau. Freezy Turgau. Frigid.
No, not frigid. Don't get like that.
Frigid. Right. You frigid wine.
Damn you. Put out. Yeah.
I feel like this episode is going downhill very quickly.
No, but really, what would you... You've got to have... Come on. You're the one that usually comes up with lots of puns. Your eyes are watering.
Because I was laughing so hard and then I was like... They're glazing over because I don't know how to... All I can think of is Gewürztraminer. It's like I'm stuck, like, on a record.
Gewürztraminer.
Yes. Müller Frogau.
Frogau.
All right, I think
Müller Frogau's okay, but it's not catchy.
It's not catchy.
I think Frulla.
Freezy McMuller. That's mine.
Freezy McMuller.
I mean, I think there'd be people lining up for that.
McFrulla.
All right, we're going to move on from this.
Okay.
But do we think that this is... Because Müller-Thurgau had... So we had a terrible time. It's had a terrible time. Let's say its whole life.
Yeah.
Let's be real. We were reading a little bit earlier, and this is sort of post-war. A lot of Müller-Thurgau was planted here in Germany as a way to sort of, like, kickstart the... wine industry here again post-World War II.
Well, and also, like, you have to remember, like, Germany's a cool climate country in terms of a lot of the regions are still very cool climate.
Right.
Even the warmer regions are still cool climate. So having a great variety like Müller-Thurgau, that because of its crossing, it ripens much earlier than Riesling does.
Right.
It means that you just have this reliability. So the wines, anyway, because the hang time of the fruit, so the time that the fruit is
spends
on the vine,
on okay.
is shorter, so you don't have this level of complexity. If you look at a lot of the wines that do have high complexity, they have longer hang times, Nebbiolo, Riesling.
So it was probably great post-war as a way to
grow,
get things
going. Yeah, like,
well, just
like, hey, we know
going.
That this is going to deliver, we can have a wine that is... Well, we can produce wine from a grape that's been going to consistently ripen when
right.
we want it to. And Germany back then would have been a bit cooler than it is today anyway.
Yeah, right.
So that's sort of why...
temperature-wise.
No, it's cool. Yeah, I mean, Germany's different to Berlin. We're not talking about Berlin.
Anyway. Sorry, that was my interjection.
Germany's got a lot cooler since then. Yeah.
It has.
Just Berlin. No, we love Germany. But I think, obviously, temperature-wise.
Right. It's warmer now than it was before. It would have been cooler back then.
Yeah, and also, so, you know, like you do, if you're post-war, also, obviously, the division of Germany as well. I mean, most of the grapes anywhere planted in the west, not in the east, so it wouldn't have impacted it so strongly having the division of Germany, but still, recovering from the war.
You need something that's quick, easy to handle.
Yeah, you just
want
to know that you can...
Right. So, what happened is lots of this stuff was planted post-war. It did revitalize the German winemaking industry in a way, but then it also, when it came to the 80s, when people were drinking more wine, when there was more money around, then suddenly it kind of destroyed the credibility of German wine because it was a big part of Liebfraumilch and some of these sweeter exports that were not that delicious. So it kind of gave Germany a bad rap for a long time, but still recovering
from it.
Yeah,
and I also think the grape variety itself is still recovering a little bit from that because, okay, now there are a handful of producers that are making interesting wines with Müller-Thurgau and doing it in a more interesting way. And I think actually these two...
That's why I'm happy we have these two.
Yeah, they're good. They're quite different contrast. In style. Yeah, good contrast. But I think actually we're going to see Müller coming back because there are a number of producers making it a little bit more interesting by experimenting with different
techniques. I just thought of Frumo.
Frumo.
Yeah.
That's not bad.
Frumo. It's cute.
Frumo 2.
Frumo 2. Oh my god.
Frumo 2.
Winner. Okay.
Frumugal.
Wow.
Do you want to join me for a frumugal?
If
you said that, like, can you imagine that, like, especially for people now, so many people meet online dating.
Frumugal.
Would you like to meet me for a frumugal? Like, there would be somebody that would just be like, oh my god, delete internet dating.
And then
profile.
Someone else would be like, yes, please. I don't know what that is, but it sounds sexy.
It's speaking my language.
I don't understand it.
Yeah, like you can just pick them up at 7-Eleven's
Frumugal.
It's not the nice thing to say.
It sounds good. Frumugal. Yeah. Okay, we're going to try this on the next Frozen episode.
Yeah.
Frumugal. Winner!
Yeah.
So, but no, I think it's a
good... Have you read Murakami? Have you drank Frumugal? Frumugal.
That's with dairy. It's not for vegans. We're going to make a dairy and a non-dairy freezing.
Frumugal.
No, but I think it's a very nice combination that we have. Actually, this sort of classic Müller-Thurgau.
Yes.
I did actually want to bring one in the classic Müller-Thurgau bottle, because are they not usually in a sort of flat...
No.
Have they not historically? Am I totally wrong on this? There's like a shape of a bottle.
Boop. The book's very German. No, so this is Riesling from Franken.
Oh, I've ever seen Müller-Thurgau's in that bottle too.
They might be as well, but they're from that region. Mm. So it's a regional specific bottle shape. I know it to be the bottle shape that's been in Riesling, but I'm sure that it's in other varietals are in it. But yeah, it's from Franken.
Okay, cool. Mm.
Learning Bucks something. Pretty,
yeah. So I think we're both ready to move on from this one.
I think we should. That was quite pleasant. I don't know, like, it's not maybe a wine that I would buy cases of for my house. And just so, because again, as we always forget, we never read out the name of the wine. So this is Ravana Trocken, 2018. Is that Krook? Is that the producer?
Krook. Yeah, exactly. Weingut Krook.
Krook. Yeah. So Weingut Krook.
Yes. In the Pfalz.
Yeah, so that's like Kruk, but the U has an umlaut on the top.
It makes it sexy.
I don't know about that, but...
I mean, you could argue with a lot of Americans that like to put umlauts on things.
Do they actually?
Yes, they do.
Like what?
There's a lot of tattooers that like to put a little... I mean, they put them randomly over A's, U's, O's, just to give themselves the...
Or their names?
European
or...
edge, yeah. It's weird.
Can anybody actually pronounce their names with the...
Because then when you pronounce it the way that they've written it with the umlaut, it sounds ridiculous. Because it's always like it's like, no, I don't think you meant it like that. It's very strange.
Just idiotic.
Yeah. Couldn't have said it better.
Write me a list
I'm going to be contacting them all one by one. I'm going to put them in their place.
You're an idiot.
I'm going to read your names out to you.
Yeah. We'll talk once you remove those little dots above your name, which you clearly have no idea. Yeah.
Get rid of all of, if it's written in English, get rid of all those bits and pieces.
Yeah, because, I mean, interestingly, we're talking about the umlaut, but Müller has an umlaut. Müller Thurgau has an umlaut over the U.
Which actually gives it the same kind of sound as when you say umlaut. Müller.
Yeah.
Umlaut.
Yeah, because if you were English, you'd say Müller or Müller.
Müller, I think.
Müller or Müller.
I think
Müller. I think you'd say Müller, but it's Müller.
Müller. I also think that when it's like not written with the umlaut right, it's going to be like a U-E.
Yeah. Who says Müller? No one says Müller. I really hope no one says Müller.
You know that somebody's dad does somewhere. Somewhere there's a dad being like, oh yeah, give me some of that Müller Thurgau.
Yeah, probably.
Somewhere. I'm excited.
Your dad or?
Not my dad. He's too busy drinking Chianti.
I like that you winked when you said that. My dad's drinking Chianti. Why?
I love it. They're cute. They drink Chianti. That's their thing. They like BWs and Chianti.
So, a bit of a different kettle of fish here. Mm.
I'm really happy that...
I'm so different on the nose. This wine smells of yuzu.
Yes.
Really big time. It's got this almost like mandarin yuzu citrus on. It's got this sweet edge to it.
It's like canned mandarins though.
Yeah.
That might make me feel weird.
I mean, I'm eating canned mandarins all the time.
I mean, I bought some fruit cocktail today, so I don't know.
I can kind of imagine you like just sitting there with it in like the old like sherry trifle glasses
thing. I love it. It's because Lucas is going out of town for the weekend. I was like, yeah, girl, get yourself some fruit cocktail.
This does have a little bit of fruit cocktail edge where it's almost like tinned pineapple.
There's a little tinned something going on.
Yeah, candy fruit. I think definitely yuzu for the more civilized person, yuzu. Tinned mandarin.
The skin of pears. Not the flesh of pears, but the skin of pears. When you hold like a nice pear up, it's got that like pear skin.
Mm. Yeah, ripe pear. I agree with that 100%. I think definitely a little bit of this like pineapple, sweet pineapple edge.
And you know what I really like about it though? Is when you taste it, it's not as insane as all the things that you smell. There's some of it there, but it's so like easy to drink and not cloying and not over... It's just nice.
It's so good.
It's really lovely.
I love this one.
I second that feeling.
This is one of the wines. So we're tasting now the 2008 Müller Thurgau from Bianca and Daniel Schmidt, who are biodynamic producer in Rheinhessen. Actually one of my favourite producers in Germany.
I love it.
They're a young couple. Late 20s, maybe possibly approaching 30 soon. Young family, making very, very dynamic, interesting wines. Completely biodynamic, they're certified too. The wine's unfined, unfiltered, wild yeast. So the wines do sometimes have this cloudy, hazy colour to the wines. But what I love about it is though, even though for the average person on the street, they look at the wine and they say, okay, it's a bit cloudy, it's a little bit unusual.
Tastes so good.
But it's pristine.
It's so clean.
Pristine and very expressive.
Yes.
So that's what I love. There's so much character, so much flavour. It's almost like jam-packed with flavour, but fresh and precise.
Yes. You cannot go wrong with this one. Like, you could bring it anywhere. Everyone's going to be happy. I mean, we've talked about this in previous episodes, where this, for me, is one of the go-to party wines I bring.
Yeah, and this is, if I was anything Asian, like Southeast Asian, Vietnamese, Thai... Even Indian food.
Totally.
Schmidt, their Riesling or the Müller Thurgau, so versatile with those.
Yeah.
Because it's low alcohol, high acidity, and then this lovely expression of fruit.
Yeah. I really, like, can't say enough nice things about this wine.
So this, a little bit different to the wine before, because we don't know full technical or technical information about the wine before. However, the wine that we're trying now is, as we said, biodynamic, blah, blah, blah. But it's also... It's 50% of the grapes have had 6 weeks of skin contact.
Oh, really?
Yeah, which is partial skin contact, which is why we're getting a different expression. Yeah, right. I think that's why we see more pronounced exotic
fruit
and the terpenic, the citrusy notes. And then also this different texture, a little bit of grip.
Yeah.
So we're getting a little bit more on the palate and on the nose, which for this varietal, I think Mulutergal, actually very interesting on skins. Yeah.
I mean, as we talked about in the skin contact episode, I think this is where so many grapes that have been sort of forgotten in conventional winemaking get to live a second life again in a whole new way because they're expressed completely. I mean, this is apples and oranges, really. To compare these is like two, they're both 100%. Yeah, right. But 100% of this same grape with a bit of skin contact, with a lot of skin contact, actually. Yes. I mean, it kind of shows you how light this grape is, that it has that many days skin contact and it's still
11.5% and it's still got like this lovely subtle freshness at the same time. It's not overblown.
So I actually think this like new push towards trying aromatics or different grapes on skins is going to change the way we think about so many grapes. It's actually really exciting to like revisit some of the old things, make them new again.
This is also a great wine for people who are a bit curious of orange wine or skin contact aromatics. This is a great wine. I think it's like an entry point for a lot of people.
I actually even think that this is a great wine for people that aren't necessarily huge wine drinkers. I think you could give this to someone that's like
a beer drinker.
Yeah.
Craft beer drinker.
Yeah, and not even because I think orange wines go well for a lot of craft beer drinkers because they love that sort of, there's a lot of similar like taste profiles, I think, between craft beer and orange wines. But I think even for someone that's like, I don't normally drink wine, I think you could give them a glass of this and they would enjoy it. Because it's just nicely balanced. It's not too high acid. It's not too low acid. There's enough fruit. It's not too much fruit. It's just sort of the perfect middle in everything. It's like, it doesn't matter what you're into, you're going to like it. Do you agree?
I agree. No, I do. I think you're right. I think it's this particular wine is very accessible. And I think it's interesting we've tried kind of, if I think about this particular varietal, I mean, you never see Mulutergal oaked, for example, or aged. And I think we see it in this very fresh sort of primary state, a little bit like a lot of bulk Sauvignon is produced. We see that style of Muller. And then
it's kind of hard not to say it a bit sexy,
right?
Muller.
Yeah. It's a character from Cluedo.
Maybe it should it be like the little brother to Cooper's
Dream? Monsieur Muller.
Little Muller.
Herr Muller.
Herr Muller.
Did you kill somebody?
Oh, Herr Muller.
Okay. We'll stop saying varietal. And with the skins, and I think actually a bit of skin contact, actually the styles that I'm trying with a bit of skin contact have made me really go, whoa, it's like made me turn
my
head.
It's different, right.
Yeah, like there's a producer as well, mentioned before, Endella and Mole, the Mulutergal that they produce, also sold by Rocket Wine, and newcomer in London, amazing.
Yeah, cool.
Amazing, amazing, amazing. So the Schmidt that we're trying now, did you buy the white?
I actually bought it at a shop that I pass on the way to Fraulein Brussel, whose name I don't remember, which is very sad.
That's okay.
They sell a lot of beers. They're a really cute shop. They're on the corner.
And the Schmidt that I got here is from Vinnie Hortur.
Yes.
My favorite shop.
Because when we said we were going to do a Mulutergal episode, otherwise we would both have shown up with this one. So
I know, and then I was like, I've already got it.
So actually I think it's good that I brought something a bit more conventional because I think it's nice
contrast
the two.
Yeah,
because
totally.
It does have a long history of not having a great name in Germany and actually like bringing down the German wine game for a while. So I think it's really nice to show that the new generation of Mulutergal has a great appeal.
Yeah, and like, I think if you're into aromatics, particularly Sauvignon, if you want something that's kind of lighter, more citrusy, a little bit more edgy than Sauvignon, edgy in the way because it's fresher and citrusy,
and
not edgy in the way that it's different.
Not it's like, a bit different in the sense that it's not like a conventional.
But not in the way where it's like,
no, it's not,
you know,
like crazy
it's not rock and roll, but it's, if you want something sort of lighter, more citrus focused.
I think it's fun.
And a little bit more on that slightly exotic note, fresher style. Yeah. Especially with skins, get into it and try it. And a couple of, I think we will see more producers working with this varietal over the next few years. Because now it's not like the grape variety that people are ashamed of. Actually, it's something that you can.
The
yeah, yeah.
It's the grape variety.
And this is down to, like, the new generation just being bold.
Yes, and trying new things and, like, experimenting with things that have been thrown away or forgotten about. Because imagine, like, if the everything has been turned around on Mother Turgau, lots of those vines were being ripped up and replaced with other things, or they were just being forgotten about.
Mm-hmm.
So there are probably plenty of small farms that were bought out by people where it was like, oh, this is useless now. So it's nice to see things being made new again. I like it.
I like it too.
It's a great house party wine. I've said it before. My two favorite go-tos for a house party.
Yeah, I mean anything in Schmidt by like Magnum or Double Magnum.
And the prices are so good. Yeah. I think the prices are phenomenal on these
wines. You're cooking anything with any form of spice, citrus, or aromatic compounds, so anything from the Middle East through to like... Even to Japanese food, like, just like, it goes through every... I don't know any cuisine that it wouldn't work with. I steer away from German and French food.
It's too heavy, I think. And sort of, like,
Northern European stuff. Yeah. But, like, as soon as you hit, like, the Mediterranean, you go, like, anywhere south or anywhere east.
Easy peasy.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Even Mexican food.
Yes.
That would be killer.
With taco.
Yeah, with, like, lime juice. And new it.
I'm going in. It's Friday, bitches.
It is. It's always Friday.
It's always Friday.
We
live in Friday.
We're living in Fridays.
Mm-hmm.
But thank you again for tuning in. Please, if you're interested in watching any of our video content, because a lot of our viewers or listeners are tuning into us over all of our audio platforms, which is really great, as we're now in at least 63 different countries, which is amazing.
Super fun.
But please find us on YouTube so you can see us making fools of ourselves.
I feel like there's a bit more comedy going on sometimes in the silence.
Exactly. You can see all of our frowns and disapproving looks at each other. So we have a YouTube channel, so just on YouTube search Juice Wine Podcast and subscribe so you can support us, and we'll keep bringing you more video content.
Yes. You can find us on Instagram at juice.podcast,
Twitter at juice_podcast,
and on the web at juice.show, where you can pick up a snazzy tote as pictured in the video. It holds 8 bottles. You can probably carry at least 4 magnums of Schmidt in this. And otherwise, you'll see us next week. I'm Gwen Douglas.
I'm Emily Harmon.
Until we see each other again.